You're listening to Dark City Radio Live. Tune in at www.darkcityradio.com. You can find us by searching Dark City Radio on Facebook or Twitter.
And you got it for us. The production team is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Us leaving. I said it was going to go straight onto the William Wallace. And it didn't. It went everywhere. It was on this random thing and it jumped everywhere. So, it happens. But don't worry, Wookman. By the time RoboWhip is finished with it, we all sound great. So big thanks to people on the team that have been working countless hours to actually make this, to put this, what we call an alternative radio, an alternative site. A lot of people have got issues of how it's different than anywhere else. We don't rely upon Facebook. We don't rely upon YouTube. We don't rely upon another corporate company supplying us with a stream. Check us out. We are actually using a caster stream, and if we do buy a stream, it will not be through a group. We're particular about this. Many people that come up to the internet and they go onto a website, they're actually already kind of clicked into what they're going to do within the first maybe 10, 20 seconds. Anyone who's in that, and I've spoken a little bit about this today, anyone who's coming into that, the subliminal imagery and the adverts that are thrown up before people, we don't want that. We really don't want it. We've seen that there's many, many good people, and I'm going to emphasise it, really fucking good-hearted people out there are working together to try and get information out. Mm-hmm. We suspect there aren't as many people listening to you as you've been told. In fact, we don't suspect. In all our cases, we find that there aren't those listeners. The major listeners are in major media streams. That's where they are. However, you know, please prove us wrong here. This isn't about our station. As far as this station's concerned, the best way I can explain it, it's a gallery. You people come and they hang their art upon the wall. We want that to trigger people emotionally, mentally, physically, in some way. But let that be towards a solution. And that solution is not based in what we've done before. It is going to be somewhat different. Might be similar, but it will be different. I can guarantee that. So this is the Dark City Show, and this is what it's about. Rick's kicking around with us, but he's treating himself with a toothache at the moment. So that's getting a bit of an issue, but he is there. So if you do want to dive in, you're welcome to, as you are on any Dark City. We open it up to the people. We go around the room. People bring up their issues, what it is, what's buzzed them up this week, what hasn't buzzed them up this week. It's your show, this. That's what it's about. So, yeah, I was just talking in the break, actually. I got a bit of an email, a message today. There's been a bit of flack thrown around because people actually came together one day and agreed. One day, that's what they did. These people, some of them, almost arch enemies. In a surreal way, you know, there's no aggression or violence towards one another, but, you know, their ideologies and what's happened in their lives and stuff are completely different. I got these people, I suppose, people could say, I mean, it depends how you look at it. We all agreed to lay down our previous problems and hang-ups for one day, where we could go onto a piece of land and just celebrate the fact, if you like, and recognise the fact that there was a little bit of free land in Britain that had been taken for people. It's not my land. It isn't anybody's land. The whole idea was to not to contract with them any further. I don't know a lot about this. I know more about it now than I did when we did it. But just let me get the people out there that want to throw rocks. Let's get this right. For one day, in Ashton Underline, people did come together from different ideologies, different backgrounds. We all stood together on a field. Not a single argument took place. We can do that. You can tell me now later we can't all work together. And I'll say to you now, some of us already have. Some of us already have. We don't give up. We don't give up. We don't go away.
I agree, Bob. Come together, you know, come together and fight for the greater good. It doesn't make any difference what your ideology is. You know, I think this is a pretty simple subject. And if people, no matter what, if they would just stand together, get together, we can bring this to an end in no time.
Yeah, we had like quite a group here, Ricky, at Ashton, when we set off, kind of banded together. We all had that similar ideology. Mm-hmm. Of course, the word had to go out first. It started with a guy called Nigel Rowlands, really, an argument. Our movement, of course, my personal movement regarding this, had started many years before, unknown to me, of course, then, because I had allotments. I took knowledge that I'd had with agriculture, and I wanted to put it into practice. I wanted to see if things work. I suppose I was like a pioneer of early alternative energy. In my way, I mean, I'm not trying to create electricity or anything like that. I was looking at how productive plants could actually be. I used to do daft things, you know, like 3-foot carrots growing in sand in a mould, and grow things. When you take them to the show, they get disqualified because they break the table. It's fun. It could be real fun. I mean, some of this stuff is not really much good for eating, I must admit. It is like a propaganda exercise, I suppose. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. And I was duped out moving from one place to go to another place, which didn't happen for like 7 years. So that's how I got into it. And mine came with an ex-councillor, Nigel Rowlands. And then, we sat about and we were talking at a friend's house, and he said about allotments. And bear in mind, this is an ex-councillor who's now a member of the Green Party. And he said to us, there aren't any allotments. I said, there are. I've seen them. I've been to them. Said they're not. I said they are. Said they're not. I'm not going to argue. I'll take it. You want? See what you're doing. I said I'll take it tomorrow morning. All right. So I met that weekend. I think it was. And we went to the area, and he saw it. He couldn't believe it. But there we were suddenly in the middle of allotment time. And then he actually said, right, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm just going to come up here and start. Because if nothing else, it's going to annoy you. And we did, Rick. That's what we went and did. Put a press release out, you know, to the papers, to the national papers, newspapers. Nigel kind of dealt with that, knows how to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. They thought we were joking. It was a political exercise because Nigel has Green Party connections. And well, they just thought it was a political exercise. It gave us the opportunity to go up there and actually take it. And since, they've been on the back foot, not us, Rick. So there is great hope. I mean, we haven't won there. We haven't won, but it's been an exercise. We took a piece of land, and they didn't do nothing because it was right what we did. I mean, the true story, Rick, is they put an illegal tip there. That's what they did, mate. They put thousands of tons of illegal waste they buried right in the middle of the town, pretty much, between Ashton-under-Lyne and Drawsden. There's a hill there now where illegal tipping went on. And by illegal, like they took stuff there and they called it the backfill site for the motorway, which, of course, would have needed to have tipping licences. But anyway, regardless what it was, we do know that all sorts of waste went into it. Nobody knows, really. Nobody knows now. But yeah, with the European government putting £20,000 levy per ton, they're sweating in my local council now. But ignorance under their law is not a play. You know, we've got to give them a way out. They have got the finger on the button, so to speak. They have got the Black Hawk helicopter gunships and micro drones and all this other military technology. You know, I've got my clipper lighter and my joint. You know, I'm a threat to their society.
We're all a threat, Bob. There's no question about that. Anybody that speaks the truth is a threat to these people. You know, I mean, of all the interviews I've done, and there's been so many of them, I've lost track of it a long time ago, I only ever had one person ever call in and question what I was saying. And I know he worked for an energy provider. There was no question, because I was talking about the ability, you know, of this plant to provide our energy. And he called right into the show and he said, well, what you're saying wouldn't work. And I said, well, why wouldn't it work? And he said, well, you know, yes, you could grow the cannabis and you can make the ethanol. But he said, you know, the trucking and everything involved, the shipping, you know, to the refineries and all this nonsense. And I said, whoa, I said, stop right there. I said, why do you got to ship anything to a refinery? Why couldn't every small town have their own little refinery? Just because it's a very simple thing. You know, and I said that way there's no shipping. It's just, you know, small communities are providing their own energy. And he came back and he admitted, he had to admit it then. He said, well, what, in that case, he said, what you're saying would work. You know, so why aren't we doing it? And why are we at the mercy of these damn oil companies? It's such a, such an awful situation, you know. And I don't know. It's just that mankind, or not just mankind, but the evil people among us, you know, that get themselves into positions of power, they just see all of these easy ways to make money. And they don't hesitate. You know, the fastest way to make the profit. Who gives a damn if it poisons everything? As long as we get a great big bank account, that's all they care about. You know, but there's a little bit more to being a human being than behaving like that. Or at least I hope there is. You know, if we go along with these people for much longer, believe me, the human race is not going to have any future at all. And it could come to a sudden end. Because, I mean, with our immune systems and everything compromised the way they are, I mean, all they would have to do is unleash one of their horrible little viruses that they invented, and they probably could take out most of the population on this planet. You know, and maybe the only ones that would survive would be the people on oil. But, I mean, today, after what I've seen, you know, these sadistic individuals do, I really think that they're capable of anything. You know, they could unleash something on the human race to try to wipe us out. Anything is possible because these people, they know they're losing control. And I don't think they actually know how to defend themselves because, well, really, they have no defense. They're as guilty as sin, and we all know it, and they know it, too. So it could get nasty. You know what I mean? Now, I put that right in my book. You know, if anything like this does happen, you know, and I gave them a list of the top banking families in the world. So these are the people that are at fault. You know, it's not your government. It's not your neighbor. It's these rich assholes that have caused this. And they're the ones that are perpetrating this crime. So if it does come to that type of thing where millions of people are dying, you know, I mean, at that point, then I would say to hell with it. Take the gun off the shelf and use it. But at least now you know where to point it.
I can only ever, I mean, you gave me, Rick. I can only ever wear a pistol. Right. And Prasna, come on, where's Kelly? Who's next on the rant?
Yeah,
you can only get up here if you're going to rant, right? We're having the Dark City rant now. Where you go, Prasna? Come on.
Well, I'm going to read again, because what Rick was saying about the nature of these people who are denying everything to us, in the mornings, people think we get up late, but actually we only get up late because we lie in bed and read stories and things. And we were reading a book called The Ragged Trousered Philanthropists by a guy called Robert Tressel, or at least that's his pen name. And he was writing in 1914. And just this morning, we read this. He was a smart man, this Rushton. He possessed the ideal character, the kind of character that is necessary for any man who wishes to succeed in business or to get on in life. In other words, his disposition was very similar to that of a pig. He was intensely selfish. No one had any right to condemn him for this, because all who live under the present system practice selfishness, more or less. We must be selfish. The system demands it. We must be selfish, or we shall be hungry and ragged and finally die in the gutter. The more selfish we are, the better off we shall be. In the battle for life, only the selfish and cunning are able to survive. All others are beaten down and trampled underfoot. No one can justly be blamed for acting selfishly. It is a matter of self-preservation. We must either injure or be injured. It is the system that deserves to be blamed. What those who wish to perpetuate the system deserve is another question. Now, that was written in 1914. Or thereabouts. How much has changed, do you reckon?
And those are words to remember.
It's a fantastic book, actually. We're only about eight or nine chapters in. And the tale that's being told is startlingly familiar, because it's exactly what we see around us today. And not only is it being perpetuated today, it's being advanced today by this current Lib Dem or Con Dem government that we've got.
Rick, can you mute your microphone for us, bro? We're getting feedback again, man, unfortunately. Just feedback, so people know. Yeah, again, mate, unfortunately. Okay. Just so you know, Rick's headset fell in half 5 minutes before we started the show tonight. So
is it better now?
I don't know until people start speaking, Rob. As soon as they start speaking, we're getting an echo back from you. Callie Prisner, I didn't want to stop you, but I'm getting it in multiple ears now. So, yeah, try again, please, Callie. Excuse me.
That's perfectly all right, Paul Bob. I was just talking about this book, the Ragged Trousered Philanthropists, and though it was written in 1914, it could easily have been written in 2013. The story that's being told. Well, maybe not actually quite 2013, but certainly 2014 if this current government has its way, because the slashes that they're making to the welfare state, this welfare reform bill, are actually going to bring down wages. So the cost of a man or woman's labour is going to be reduced to purely subsistence, eking out a living sort of levels, unless we change it now and step away from this system, which is condemning us all to this awful fate. But I do highly recommend The Ragged Trousered Philanthropists to anyone that wants to see how little has changed in over the past 100 years.
The title's actually quite interesting, because what he's referring to is all these workers who do all the work and give all their energy to all the bosses who take everything, who do nothing. So the people, the philanthropists, real philanthropists, are the workers.
Yeah.
You're quite right. And, you know, today, you know, you look at people like Bill Gates, and they call like Bill Gates, Bill and Belinda Gates, you know, philanthropists. Well, all you have to do is look at where Mr. Gates is putting his money. I don't think you could call that philanthropy. It's more or less just another one of these control freaks. You know, he hasn't done anything good for the human race.
You know, like he'd
take shots and make sure you take a chip. That's Bill's advice. You know, to put it frankly, that man does nothing but disgust me. And if there are any real philanthropists on this planet, then why aren't they backing this issue?
It gets even worse.
All they want is more money. They want more money and more power. That's all they care about. And I've treated millionaires. I know the way they behave. And, you know, the medicine worked for them. But then they contact me back, and then the next thing, they want to start a pharmaceutical company. And I won't have nothing to do with something like that. That is truly disgusting. You know, like, how much money and power do these people need? You know, and can't they see the harm that they're doing to us all? Of course they can. You know, these individuals, like I said, they're sick in the minds. They're addicted to money and power, the same as a drug addict is addicted to opiates. There's no difference. You know, they need their fix. And it's pretty damn sad situation. There's no question about it. I'm sorry, folks. I got to sign off. This tooth is starting to drive me crazy, so I got to go get some oil and get it in there, and maybe I can survive for another day or two. But it was a pleasure being on the show today and with you folks. It was wonderful. And I want to thank you all very much.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's always, always a pleasure. Your passion and your honesty and your directness are inspiring.
And you're as good at ranting as we are. We love it.
Thank you so much for that.
Hope you feel better soon, love.
Well, as soon as I get rid of this tooth, I think I'll be doing a whole lot better. But I believe that's going to be next week before they can deal with it. So I guess I got some suffering to do in the meantime. But I hope I'm better for Liam. Well, I got another show to do on Saturday in the U.S., and I got another one Sunday on Dark City. So if I can keep that tooth away for a few more days and deal with it next week, I'll be a happy camper.
Rick, do us a favor, will you, Rick? Right, remember to put radio on the end of Dark City, because when we say Dark City and people type it in, they get Disney World.
Oh, right. Okay. You told me that before. I'm sorry about that, Bob.
Okay, man. I've done it many times.
Rick, just before you go, if you're putting cannabis oil on your tooth, get some turmeric. Have you got some turmeric, ground turmeric there?
I don't have any in the house, but I mean, you can
okay,
get it in the
then knock on your neighbor's house and keep knocking until you find someone who's got turmeric, and mix the turmeric in with your oil That will do a great job of sorting your tooth out. You might not even need to have it pulled.
And if you can't get hold of any turmeric, sage, if you grind some sage into a powder and then mix that into your oil as well, that will help a lot.
And also clove oil is great as well. If you've got,
it'll either get rid of your toothache, Rick, or it'll turn you into a toad.
Well, thanks to Dark City Radio, maybe I'll never need to see another dentist, and that wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, folks. Okay, we'll be on air with you again very shortly. Goodbye.
Bye, love. Take care.
Rick has rest the building. Not quite. We're never that quiet here, are we?
Not for long.
He's fine. He's working. Right, so that's it. The amazing Rick Simpson on our little Dark City show, chat show. Yeah, come on, crew. Who have we got now? Let's keep it going. A lot of people have hardly said anything. Dan came in late on. And I don't know if Dan's just come in to tell us about the Linux server. Well, I'm going to try and, if we can, get Boris from the... Let me get this right. It's the road. Oh, the bypass. Come on, crew, help me out here.
In relation to...
It's the bypass that
Hastings. Battle of Hastings 2. Where is it? What's it called, Jit Robo?
Hastings.
Voscombe.
Yeah, but it's at Voscombe, isn't it? It's very close to Hastings. I think you're right. But Boris, anyway, the Resistance News reporter... he's going to come in the last 15 minutes or so of the show. So he's got some news from down there. So, right, I've said so too many times. What was next?
We can ask each other. One of us can pick another one of us at random and ask a random question. And that one has to answer the question and then randomly pick someone else and ask another question. That'd be a good game, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking more like, I don't think we've got time to cover it, but I want to do a show me on what's actually happened and the way we've been contacted by various different groups over the time since we've took this land here. Someone's been pointed out to me, and it got my little antenna pricked up. Now, they don't come up too often, but it has got the focus of my attention now, that we have been actually approached by several different groups of people. And a lot of that has actually put us into the position we're in now. I'm wondering whether I'm being manipulated and handled somewhat. So, yeah, I want to do a show on that. I think it's about being open and transparent. I don't think I've got anything to hide, but if I have, let's bring it to the surface. I know there's more people out there who want me to shut the fuck up. Oh, I know that. I know there's more people who want me to fucking show up than want me to speak. I'll tell you that. I've no doubt about it. So, yeah, I thought it might be interesting to do that. There's been some things like about Nigel and the Green Party and what happened there and like some of the people who are involved with it now. They started to throw rocks at me and my friends and my family. So I'm willing to get every single person that's been involved with it, that's willing to. I know Nigel is already. And, yeah, we'll do that. We'll put on the Ashton Allotment Action special because... that's why we set up this media stream, because we went to the frigging BBC and they lied. We've been on the BBC one show. Yeah, they covered us all right. They made us look like a nice bunch of people. We weren't made to look like a load of hippies. You know, they didn't kind of diss us in any way, but they didn't cover the real story. They covered part of it. They chopped it up. They sliced it up. Just showed a little bit what they wanted to see. Now, I've spoken to people later from the BBC. Real nice guy come down. And this was the day when we went up and met up. When I first met Charlie in Manchester, Charlie Veitch. That very day, the BBC were actually filming us. This is the day we did the Everything Is Okay Garden, which is nothing to do with Charlie Veitch, as people will remember. It started with Dan Shine. And we went down, really, carrying the shine. You were there, weren't you, Neil? Oh, yeah, on the first one, I think you were, weren't you? Susan was there from Australia. I can't remember, a couple of us anyway. A couple of carfuls then we went down, leaving the BBC on site with Stevie. Stevie on his own. who actually got paid one bottle of wine. He actually gave him £20 a month from the BBC. So Stevie went to the local shop and spent £17.95 on a bottle of wine. He said, "We're getting something out of the bastards." So yeah, and we spoke to that guy. He was a nice guy. We've got a little bit of video footage of us there with his dude and stuff. He was going to do a 90-minute documentary film on allotment life, but they never did it. They cut that. And we decided we didn't want to work with them because they weren't prepared to really cover the story again. We were unpaid actors. We were set handlers and stuff. I mean, these crews turning up, it's like one guy trying to get it out there. Of course, the one show was a little bit more professional, I suppose. You know, they come with crew and they filmed us for days on end for a 5-minute clip where they cut out 95% of it, really. They called us something else. It was a different name. The A-Team of Guerrilla Gardeners. When you type that in, you try to type the A-Team, you're not going to find National Allotment Action. You're not going to find it. You're just not going to find that. Others have come along, the Postcode Lottery, they did a brilliant. And I actually got on the council, you know, and I've got a bit of a clip of that with our actual Warren Bray telling us that if we don't get that site, we'll get us the original site back. Of course, this is the site that, until I'd started the phone call, he didn't even know existed. Lying. Cheating. Scared, these people. I've met some of these people who want to bring forth change, and they're scared, you know. They're scared than I am. Well, I'm pretty fearless in these things, you know. But, you know, there are the people who are scared. People don't want to speak out. I'm talking about politicians here, MPs.
If we manage to bring about the kinds of changes that we propose to bring about, then that directly threatens the position of politicians and the like.
Not all of them. I think you're right. I mean, 10 years ago, you would have been right. And I really want to think that, you know, 20 years ago when I said, look, cannabis is going to become legal, you know, the banks will, people will actually realise what's going on with the banks and they'll take back their own banking fraternity. You know, when I was saying all that stuff, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't. Like, we take bitcoins, something we've touched on a few times here. I mean, people said I was crazy when I told them to invest in Bitcoin. Oh, you're nuts. You're crazy. You're nuts. And we were on Revolution Radio at the time. We had some great friends over there. We mentioned it to the financial dude. He said, Bitcoins are stupid, it's a waste of time, it's untangible, blah, 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 blah. And it was exactly the opposite argument that I've heard people go on about. Fiat currencies, you know, based in debt, blah, blah, blah. And he's like fighting the flag. So for all them people, just let me remind you again, this is not us gloating, of course, because we donated our Bitcoins and we bought a machine. We're waiting for that machine to come. It may have been a mistake. We sold our bitcoins at something like... We bought them at 16. At 6. We invested them so that city would be future-proofed. It might be another 6 months before we get the machine to create them. That's why we struggle at the moment. But I mentioned a while ago that the bitcoins that we actually had, they were worth £40 each now. So that our little kitty and have gone up. And then I mentioned that they'd gone up another 100, they were like at £50. Well, bitcoins have hit a high today of £99.30. They've now got an average of £88.51. It carries on like this. We won't need anyone to assist us. If you have got any little bits and pieces of them coins, even if they're all small amounts, get them together. Don't know what to do with them, let us know. The last price was I've got £83. Jim's just had £81. It looks like they're dropping again. I would have, if my account would be fully verified, I would have cleared some of them funds already. I would have done that. But that's in the process. These things do take time to come into volition. But that is way beyond anything. It looks like these things are happening faster, not slower. It may take over the world banking but I suspect it's getting its strength at the moment because of the instability of the others. I think they're broke.
What you could do, I reckon, Paul, is just set a price, say 50 bitcoins, 50 pounds rather. And whenever they go over 50 pounds, you sell the difference between 50 pounds and whatever they've gone over by, so that you're back to your 50 pounds worth again. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I had and bitcoins are done with this 10 million bytes in a bitcoin, so I would have had about 200,000 bytes. And I've traded that up and down, and I've cleared all my bitcoins now on the last little bit, and that's from about £1.10. Yeah? And I've just, because it's only a tiny amount, and I've bought a little tiny bit and sold a little tiny bit and bought and sold and bought. So from £1.10 left in the account, thereabouts. I've got £27.96 in that account. So yeah, you can do this with any little. It is like a lot of messing around, and you've got to kind of work it out. It's not really that, if you're technologically minded at all, it's quite simple to do. Again, is it a brilliant ideology of a pyramidal system that will bring down these fiat currencies once and for all? Will it become it because they have duped us? These are fake bills we're passing over. We do trust it. It has got an element of trust. Is currency just really what time and energy we put into it in the 21st century? Is that what it's really about? Is it about?
That's what it's always been about, Paul. It's always been about energy and time.
Oh, I think so. But will that become a reality for all, for everyone, Prasner? Not just the mystic guru sat off in the Far East or some great holy wisdom dudes, you know? No, Paul, for us. Paul, you know?
What it will do is it will help people to see that currency is just energy, that money is just energy, because at the moment it's all hidden from them. It's all tied up in this banking system and investments and interest and this and that and all that hideous complication. And what Bitcoin will do is it will show people it's just energy. And when they say it's just energy, they'll say, well, hey, I can give my energy instead of giving anything else to someone. The only thing I have that's of any value is my energy.
My energy and my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, and my love skills. And my attention.
Yeah.
Well, time's another one there, Callie. Time's another one, you see. Many people are saying in the spiritual realms that one of the biggest breakthroughs is to realize that time is constant. It's not actually linear. And that thinking from a linear perspective, and one gives you the perception that time has value, where time is constant, it's with you, it doesn't go away, you can't put it in the future, you can't leave it behind, you can't carry it with you, it can't be bought or sold.
You have it now, and only now.
So, therefore, all you'll be left with is energy.
Yeah.
I suspect that, unknowingly, some of it knowingly, I mean, per square inch, we produce more energy than the sun, the human body. So maybe we've unknown of this. Maybe this energy has been tapped off through, I don't know, the reptilian shape-shifting voodoo people of the balloons.
Matrix.
That's right. Whatever, you know.
It's Matrix.
I don't have any issues about being aware of an energetical field around me that I'm able to step out of into a field which is governed by a multitude of energetical fields, which co-create an environment they call reality. I haven't got any problems in being aware of that. If you can focus your energy onto yourself and remain grounded, then you create your own perception around you as reality. I mean, it's no more real than the other delusions that we live in. But collectively from those points, you can diminish, transmute the energies that have stayed between us for so long. There are as many good people that can't get together, not because of their endeavours, but because of the energies that are projected between them. And they use historical facts and word casting, books, law, education, religion. Yeah, I've come across them before many times.
I've just noticed Paul in chat is a drunken Vosto who's just asking how much till the serious show ends. And Carly's just replied to him, the second you ring in, Vosto, the seriousness ends.
No, Vosto is... Vosto, he wouldn't do that, drunk. He wouldn't do that, drunk. He may be joking with you. He might not really be drunk. But if he was drunk, he wouldn't do that. Because he's the cam. So? He's the cam. He doesn't do things like that. Yes, and it's nice, isn't it, that we can have that, you know, that little bit of a mask. That little bit of a mask, and you know, that we can play a character, we can have a role. You'd be quite amazed, really, how lifelike a lot of the characters are. And that's what they are. Cool. These are characters. Go on.
Cool. Vosto wants in.
Oh, he knows what to do.
He said, call me Fags.
We're the Fags.
Oh, really?
Oh, we're all Fags, apparently.
Yeah. One. Two. Three. All together now. We bring in the cop because he look after the numbers. We love it. One.
He looks after the numbers and finally.
Vosto!
Faggots.
Hey, Vosto.
Can you hear me, you faggot?
Prajna just said. You see, Paul said.
Right, so, what up? Can you hear me?
Well Paul said, Vosto, Paul said that you look after the numbers. And Prajna said that you look after the numbers in binary. And I'm just wondering whether you're on an 8-bit or a 16-bit binary system.
I don't look after everything, after anything right now. I'm only looking at my glass of beer. Okay? Which is very good.
How many bubbles are in it?
My beer is 5%. Alcohol, so it's okay. Can you hear me though?
Yes.
That's good. Right. So, what is your show about today?
We don't have an about. It's about you now, because you're ranging. That's the idea. But in a moment, it will be about the Nazi dictators who strive across the land and they create concrete jungle across
that the
people animals live.
Shape shifting Illuminati are making the alcohol not so interesting anymore, because when you drink like six beers, you start to feel that you start to feel to puke. And that is not good, you know. You should be able to drink more and more and more. And what I feel right now after six beers is that I have to balance my drinking.
No, it is because angels cannot abide alcohol.
Right, so I changed the alcohol and now I'm drinking a slightly different type, because before I was drinking brown alcohol, brown beer. Now I'm drinking yellow beer. It's okay now.
And my friends
have all my friends are dead now. They all left home, and I'm now left only with one friend, which has gone to, you know, to drive a girl home and possibly have sexual relations. And now I'm alone here, and I'm waiting for my friend to come back. But I am drinking this very interesting beer, and I'm analyzing the effects that it has over my system. And right. Any questions?
Vosto, Can I interject with something serious for a moment?
Yes.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Well, a long time ago, I used to drink quite a lot. I was a heavy drinker. And what I found was, after years and years of getting drunk several times a week, that the alcohol was actually, it was having a horrible effect on me. And I'd only need two pints and I would have memory loss and all kinds of things. It was very strange. But that prompted me to stop drinking. And my whole life changed. It's like I came alive.
I see.
And I just wanted to say that as food for thought.
That is a great food for thought. You know, I am now like 80% under the influence of the alcohol. So as you can see, I'm not negatively reacting to what you said. You know, like, the reason why I drink the alcohol is because it makes me feel a little numb and a little dizzy, you know, so that disconnects me from reality, you know?
Yes, it does. It lowers consciousness. It's one of the things that alcohol does.
Can I just interject just slightly? I can understand fully why Vosto would have to drink alcohol so he can actually lower himself and have a conversation with us.
I don't
quite
think
right.
Or my
someone in the chat's just logged in as Vandana Shiva. Does anyone know who Vandana Shiva is?
Who, what, where?
Vandana Shiva is this amazing woman in India.
Oh,
who,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's the one.
With big red bindi she wears. Yeah,
yeah, she's wonderful.
You know her, Vosto?
No, I just know that Shiva is a weird goddess in India, and it has more hands and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, a lot of them seem to, don't they? Yeah. She's amazing because she actually stopped a patent in Brussels from Monsanto. They were trying to patent the neem tree, one of the most healing trees on the planet, and Monsanto were trying to take out a patent for it, and she went over to Brussels and stopped it, and she stopped coke factories from taking all the water from people, and she's been involved against all the GMO stuff, and she's just an amazing woman, really.
She has recently been speaking at the UN, not the UN, the G20 summit, which is going on somewhere. And yeah, I saw a clip of her speaking the other day, and basically slamming Monsanto and GMO. And that's it, really. She didn't say much different than
The other news today is...
Just hang on, you run on. I just want to try and bring Boris in if we can. Apparently it might not be good news, but we've only got a few minutes left. Boris, are you there?
No, you're not.
Boris?
Stand on, Boris. The change passed.
Yes, I'm here, mate. Yes.
You're up for me, Vosto. You man, Vosto, thank you.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Boris.
Yes, mate. The Hastings and Bexhill Linkway we've been talking about, we've been dealt a severe blow today. I'll just read from the letter from the Department for Transport.
Yep.
It says, "Dear XXXX, Bexhill Hastings Link Road, full approval. Following receipt of your final funding bid submitted on the 19th of December 2012 for the above scheme, this letter confirms that ministers have agreed to grant the scheme full approval. This means that work to construct the Bexhill to Hastings Link Road can now start." Then it goes on about their 56.85 million that's been given from government today. So basically from tomorrow, they start building this road big time, start chewing the countryside up proper. I know you guys have been following it, so I thought I'd let you know that, you know.
Oh, hey, man, it might not be good news, Boris. But this is what it's about. Sometimes it's brilliant, it's great news. Sometimes it's not good news, but it's about getting that out there. Look, Boris, I know it might not be the, you know, well done, mate. Well done. You did get out there. You did make a stand. You did bring out. You did give people the opportunity. Hopefully that'll inspire more people. We'll find out sooner. We'll get there on the ground quicker. We will become more organised. You know, not in a sense to cause, you know, disruption or anything like that, but come on, 58 what million pounds and the turning peak charging people for having a bedroom that's too big.
Yeah, the total cost of the scheme is 91 million. The government have given today their 56.85 million.
Yeah, but they've also guaranteed that if they go over,
they're gonna trust me, they'll go over. Go on, Prisoner, get in there, mate.
I was gonna say that Bilderberg 2013 is going to be in London.
Well, it's said possibly. There's unconfirmed, as yet unconfirmed reports that, yeah, it's going to be in London this year in June, which will be fantastic if
there's
it
also,
is. Cause we'll,
there's also reports out there that Bilderberg will be held on Dark City Radio this year. But I'll have to just kind of put this out there, and I'm going to have to break the only rule we've got. Fuck off, Bilderbergs. You're not coming on. You'll have to fucking do a hell of a lot better out there before you get in here, I'm telling you. Fuck yeah, we've got to draw the line somewhere. Come on. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I know I learned in the early days, you know, you open the doors to everyone and scum will come in and try and stab you in the back. You know, I thought the internet might be different, but hey, it looks like it's the same, you know. When it comes to that, fucking once bitten, twice shy, I'm the stupid boy. The rich elite, yeah, of course, we'll fucking include you if you want to come along. But you think we're going to open the doors to you lot straight away? Nah. Prove it now. I offered them unconditional surrender. I said to him, you can have under condition, we won't seek any retribution. Nobody else will seek retribution, but this is a limited offer. Well, tough. Time's up. Way up. No, that's too late now. It's too late. You could have done simple things. You could have tuned in and listened to Boris. You could have done. You chose not to. We didn't. We chose to listen to him. We now know. We now know you're lying, cheating scum. Because that's what you are. Until you prove different now, that's what you are. Every single person that turns round to someone else and says, we're going to help you, oh, but we've changed his mind, fuck you.
Yeah.
Serious. You know, because you're part of the fucking problem. You've got guys like there, like with Boris, out there fucking doing his shit. People, you know, behind the scenes, they never even get out of the frigging house. They haven't got time. Roma Whippy sat there every day pumping this information out, bringing it in, putting it out, bringing it in, putting it out, recycling it over and over again, new stuff coming in, same old shit, I suspect. What do you smell, Boris?
I smell total bullshit, having watched this from beginning to end, this road. Yeah, there's going to be more people on the ground now after this today, but, you know, it's bullshit, man. It's just all bullshit.
A great wise woman said to me from the south of the country not so long ago, Boris, same shit, different smell, bro.
Yeah,
it's all over the place, you know, all over the place. One side of it saying one thing. I've said it before with our local council here. I don't know if there is a fucking conspiracy. Oh, and the right hand really doesn't know what the left's doing anymore. I think it, you know, there could be good people inside there. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them.
Well,
no, the same as, what's he said, did he? The president, the famous president before they shot him in the head, or, you know, before he was shot from three different directions by a single person and the man on the grassy knoll. Fucking bullshit.
Hello? Hello?
So, yeah. Go on, get in there, Vosto. Come on, man. What do you reckon? Are you feeling a pinch?
You know, I have the solution for the world's problems. You know, like, tomorrow I'm going to go to this manifestation against fracking. You know what fracking means, right?
Yeah, it's fracking
natural gases with very weird techniques, you know? And I'm going to go tomorrow because, like earlier, I told you that I'm going to go, but it was a very wrong time. You know, I was completely wrong. Actually, the movement is tomorrow. And if I can, I can broadcast it live. But I'm not sure how to broadcast from my camera. But it will be very interesting. You know, I will have like, I don't know, maybe 50 people will come to the city where I'm going. And of course, it will be an anti-fracking movement that will be in all the country, you know, like maybe 10 countries with people going in every country, with including not only hippies, you know, not only idiot hippies, but only... very, you know, prominent figures from the official point of view, from the, you know, like professional point of view, you know, like...
many choirs, Losto.
Stuff like that.
Many choirs, you know, these aren't representatives from one group, representatives from a multitude of groups, bro. Yeah.
So, yeah, from every group, we will have a representative. And if it's possible, I may even do a broadcast online. But it depends if I'm able to hack neighborhood connections. But, if I'm able to get break into the neighborhood connections, I might be able to broadcast online what is happening in the main market of the city of Brasov. You know, it will be an anti-fracking movement with very prominent figures.
What time, Losto? What time is this starting, Losto? Come on, we've got a few minutes before the end of the show. Let's get it out. Go on, man.
So it will be 5 p.m. in Romanian time. That will mean 3 p.m. in English time. And I don't know, probably 9 p.m. American time.
Right, you know? We'll look out for it, man. Not an issue. We'll look out for it, man. Let us know. We'll be on standby for you, Mosto.
I will speak in the chat room whenever it will be time. You know, it all depends if I am able to hack the neighborhood.
Don't listen. That is not an acceptable excuse. If I am able. If I am
Vosto.
Able. Vosto. Yeah.
Vosto. Yeah. Make it so.
Make it so, Vosto. Right, that's us done. We're right at the end of the show, else we're going to get in trouble. Come on, hit your buttons. Hit your buttons for us to do, man. Where are we going? What's happening? Thank you, everybody. Please, your show, your radio, use it. Get in touch. If you want Rick on, get his word out there. Please, get in touch with us.